All right, let's turn our Bible to John 3:16. This is the only passage that I'm going to use outside of the book of Romans today. So John 3:16 says, do it from the beginning. Many of us should be very familiar with this passage. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that you love us so much, God. Thank you, Lord, that you sent your son Jesus to die for our sins. Lord, there was a penalty to be paid, God, and Jesus paid it for us so that we would never have to. Lord, this really sums up the gist, God, of the gospel, Lord, that I want to proclaim this morning. And so I pray for a grace and a strength, God. Lord, to that end, we ask you right now to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. Lord, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just convey your words, God, but convey your heart. God, we thank you, Lord. We love you in this house and all of our houses, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. 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 And so the last few weeks, we've been talking about the gospel. We've been talking about what is the gospel. What does it mean to us? We've been talking about justification and sanctification and how these things play out in our lives. And so we mentioned that the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. It's a proclamation that happens. Last week, we talked about how Jesus instructed his disciples to go out and to the world and proclaim the kingdom of God. And a very specific order. He wanted us to pray, to speak blessings. He wanted us to fellowship and build relationship. He wanted us to meet people's needs, whatever they were. And then we were given the permission to proclaim that the kingdom of God is at hand. And so today and next week, I'm going to talk a little bit about what exactly is the gospel in terms of the kingdom of God that's at hand. And what exactly are we communicating to people? I think most of us can understand prayer. We pray for people. We can understand building relationships and fellowshipping. I think we can understand meeting people's needs. Now, what does it mean to say the kingdom of God has come near to you? What does it mean that now we get to the actual part where we get to proclaim and say the gospel? Not just practice it like we talked about last week, but actually to say the message of the gospel. And probably one of the best ways that I personally was taught when I was a young believer, and I still use to this day, is what we call the Romans Road to Salvation. And so Paul, in his seminal work to the church in Rome, really laid out beautiful theology about all different kinds of things, but a lot of it particularly pertaining to the gospel or this idea of salvation and what it means, why we need to be saved, what does it mean to be saved, what are the benefits of being saved, how can I be saved? And Paul really answers all these questions through a series of texts throughout the book of Romans. And so I have 5 points today, and we're just going to go through this, and we're going to primarily use the book of Romans. Thus, it's called the Romans Road to Salvation. And so we're going to start off here again. All right, simple, powerful method of explaining why we need to be saved, how God provides salvation, how we can receive salvation, and the results of this salvation and the promises that God gives to us, to those who are saved. And so let's go through this real quickly. Number one, very important one. Number one, God loves you and wants to give you peace and abundant and eternal life. This is what God loves you, and he wants to give you peace. He wants to give you an abundant life. Jesus says, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly, have it overflowing, and also eternal life, that your life doesn't end in this life, but there is an eternity in the presence of God for our lives. That's God's plan. That's what God wants. Romans 5, chapter 1. We'll hit the first part of the road. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by God, justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is God's heart. He wants us to have peace with Him. We read John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting or eternal life. This is God's dream. This is His wish. This is plan A, that He loves us so much. But unfortunately, something came in the way of that. And so number two, we go right into it. Number one, God loves you and wants to give you peace and abundant and eternal life. Number two, why do we need to be saved? Well, Peace Sam, I can understand that God loves me, and I mean, that's cool and all, but why do I need to be saved? Why do I need to repent or any of these things? Well, Romans, let's follow the road. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We have all sinned, each one of us. We have all done things that are displeasing to the Lord and to others around us. There is no one who is innocent. Paul actually elaborates on this earlier in chapter 3 and in verse 10 to 12. Let me just read this. He says, as it is written, this is coming from the Old Testament, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. All of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In 3 from 13 to 18, actually, Paul, the rest of these verses, Paul gives us a detailed account of what sin looks like in our life. Exactly what sin has done in terms of our actions, our speech, so many aspects of our life, our heart, and we've all turned away from God. There is none righteous, not even one. And so we recognize we've all sinned, but what are the consequences of our sin? Well, Paul addresses it again in Romans 6:23, the first part. He says, for the wages of sin is death. Death. Through sin, death entered into the world. He explains further in Romans 5:12. He says, therefore, just as through one man, we're talking about Adam, sin entered into the world, and death through sin, so that death spread to all men because all have sinned. And so, in other words, when Adam committed the original sin, then sin was introduced into the world, but not only sin was introduced into the world, but death was also introduced. And brothers and sisters, we are right now feeling the ramifications of this sin and of this death. But we can see, as we look through history, that the world is just getting worse and worse and worse, and it's not getting any better. This is the result, the culmination of sin and death that has entered into our world. The physical death, for sure, we can understand that, is a result of Adam and our sin, but also an eternal death, separation from God. So, point number three. So what happens? Well, guess what? Praise God. God provides a way. He provides a way. Romans 6:23. We'll read the second part, first and second part. For the wages of sin is death, but, I love this but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The free gift of God is the eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And this is what this how also he provides for us. In Romans 5:8, he says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that amazing? Jesus Christ died for us. Jesus' death paid for the price of our sins. Jesus' resurrection proves that God accepted his death as payment for our sins. God provides for us. And so we get to number four. Well, this might be the shortest sermon I've ever given in my life. I better slow it down a little bit. I don't want to build a bad reputation here. Number four, so how can we be saved? How can we be saved? Romans 10, 9 and 10. It says that if you confess with your mouth as Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. And so we see that Paul is telling us that we believe in our heart. There's an internal thing that's happening, but also we confess with our mouth. It's something that comes out of us. It's something externally. And so it's inside and outside. And so inside, God touches us and we believe, and then we confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of our life. Because of Jesus' death on our behalf, all we have to do is to believe in him. Not a bunch of works, not a bunch of duties, not any. All we need to do is just believe in him. Trust in him and trust that his death was payment in full for our sins. And he says, and we will be saved. A few verses later in 10:13, Romans 10:13. So he says, for whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And now the word call that's used here is a really interesting word. It means a couple of different things. And one, it means that you're pleading out. This is when you're calling out, when you're in danger, when you're in trouble, and you say, help, or something to that effect. That's this word that's being used. Those who call upon the Lord, whosoever will call upon his name. And so isn't that what we did? He rescued us. We called and said, Lord, help us. And Jesus came. But the word call is also a different part of that. It also means to be named. In other words, you take a surname. This is what you call yourself in that way. In other words, and so you're in almost one way, you're crying out for help, and then at the same time, you're calling yourself a believer, a Christian. And so we see kind of the beauty of this. And he says, whoever will call, will take his name upon ourselves, who will cry out for help. He says, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus paid the penalty for our sins and rescued us from eternal death. Salvation, forgiveness of sins is available to anyone who will trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Isn't that amazing? And the last one, number five, this is the result of our salvation. The result of our salvation. Romans 5:1, let's hit this again. He says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Jesus and because of what he's done, now we have a relationship with God. We have a peaceful relationship. Before it was hostile. Now it's full of peace. And what else? I mean, what's the result of this? I love this. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You will never be condemned for your sins. You may be convicted at times, and that's good, but you will never be condemned because of your sins. The ones that you did, the ones you'll do today, and the ones you'll do tomorrow, will never, because of what he did on our behalf, we will never be condemned for our sins. Now do you get why it's called the good news, why it's called the gospel? And then finally, we have this precious promise of God that nothing will be able to separate us from him. I love this, from his love. Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that amazing? Nothing, no angels, no demons, no height, nor depth, nor any created thing, nothing will be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. These are some of the incredible benefits of being saved. See, God loves us. He wants to have a relationship with us, but our sins have separated us from Him. Right? All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The result was death, for the wages of sin is death. So God provides a way for us to be reconciled to Him. He says, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. All we needed to do, because He's already done it for us, all we need to do is to confess our sins and believe in Jesus. For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And now we can have a relationship with God. Therefore, having just by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And because of what He's done, nothing will be able to separate you from the love of God. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing will be able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's the message of the gospel. You probably heard me say this before. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. But our greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent to us a Savior, and His name is Jesus. Brothers and sisters, all we have to do and all we can do is to offer Him a simple trust. I mentioned a few weeks ago, I know people that are waiting to be good before they can be a Christian or come and participate in church and these things. Brothers and sisters, we'll never be good enough. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All we can offer the Lord is a simple trust. Not good works, not good behavior, not our wealth, our name, our reputation. The only thing that we can offer the Lord is a simple trust. One of my favorite passages is in the book of Luke. And let me just read this, and I'm going to clarify this point even more. In Luke chapter 23, we're going to read from verse 39. And in Luke 23, 39, it says, and one of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at Him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other answered and rebuking him said, do you not even fear God, since you're under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he is saying, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. This is a great passage of a salvation story. We know this thief, we don't know exactly what he stole, but we know he was he was more than a thief, because he's crucified on the cross next to Jesus. And so we read in the Bible, particularly in the book of Mark, that he was cursing at Jesus all day long, and then something happened to him. A grace was shown him. And now when he hears the thief on the other side cursing Jesus, he turns to him and says, basically, shut up, man. What are you saying? Don't you know? He says, we are getting what we deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. And now the thief just simply goes before the Lord. And you've heard me preach on this passage before. I think this is the greatest act of faith in all of the Bible. Because he doesn't look at Jesus who's feeding the 5,000 or Jesus who's raising Lazarus from the dead. He's looking at the battered, beaten face who can't even muster the strength to carry his own cross up to Golgotha. And he's looking to that Christ, the beaten, bloody Christ, as his Savior. And all that he can offer, he's dying on the cross in a few hours. He's got really nothing to offer the Lord. All he's got to offer is a simple faith and a simple trust. And he says, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. What's he saying? He's calling him a king. And he's telling him that he's got the power after this life to remember him. And what does Jesus say? Jesus turns to this thief and says, oh, sorry, bro. Didn't go to church, man. Sorry, dude. Never took communion. Sorry, you've never given a tithe. Sorry, no mission trip. Sorry, no good works. This guy has nothing, absolutely nothing to offer the Lord Jesus Christ. He just only has a few hours to live. But he says, all he has is a simple plea, a simple trust. Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And what does the Lord say? He said, today, this day, today, you shall be with me in paradise. Paradise meaning heaven. Today, in other words, the moment you open your eyes, son, the first person you're going to see, Jesus says, is me. And I'm going to welcome you into the presence of God. It is the exclusivity of Christ. I know in the culture wars around us that Christians, we're not supposed to say this kind of things, but it's true. It's just the reality. I'm not trying to be smug about it, in all humility, but it's the exclusivity of Christ. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. And so you got to reckon with the things that Jesus says. It's the exclusivity of Christ. Take a moment and think about this. Place any figure on the cross, anyone throughout history, where people put their faith and trust, and place any figure on the cross. How will they respond to this man, this thief? Put Buddha on the cross. Says, Siddhartha, remember me when you come in your kingdom. What is Buddha going to say? Follow the Eightfold Path. Well, he's only got a few hours to live. That's not very helpful. For us that prize entertainment and sports, put Michael Jordan on the cross. What is he going to say? Just do it. The thief can't do anything. Put money, put wealth, put anything that we value so much on the cross. What are they going to say? Put Einstein if we value scientific discovery. And just think about the gamut of history. Put Muhammad, put anyone on the cross that we put our faith and trust in. And let the thief turn to that person or that thing and say, remember me when you come in your kingdom. No one can say what Jesus said, and no one can back what Jesus said, not only by dying, but rising from the dead. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let something stir in our hearts. Because part of all of this, why I'm sharing all this, is because we want you to go out into the world and share the gospel. Practice it and proclaim it. And it's important, but if you don't believe it yourself, it's going to be really hard for you to even muster the courage to try to share with somebody else. A few weeks ago, I got a call. It was actually very early in the morning, and I don't know how this person knew I was up, but I woke up really early for some reason. And one of our old brothers, old SP Hong Kong members, Haij Kim, gave me a call. And for whatever reason, he just thought he'd give me a call. And so, and I happened to be up. And so we're talking. And he was also tired and doing some stuff. And so, you know, he's in London now, so time difference. And we're talking. And so I was just kind of sharing with him. And, you know, he's a very faithful brother. He's one of our board members here back in the days. And he's one of the lay preachers at his church. And so he actually regularly goes out onto the streets and does street witnessing and just preaches. I've seen it where he just gets a microphone and some guy's playing and he just goes out and he just like open air preaching like, you know, back in the days of the revivals. And I talked to him about that and I said, well, man, you know, what happened? Well, I mean, what's going on? And he said what happened was a couple years ago, one of his bosses, I guess a guy he was close to, just died. They were gone over the weekend and came back. And then his bank, they gathered all the people together and they basically said, hey, we have an announcement. So-and-so passed away this weekend. And so Haij, you know, he was kind of flustered, but he was, you know, had busy doing work. And he said it didn't really hit him until later when he sat down and started thinking about it. And he just began to weep and just weep and weep and weep. Multiple different things. You know, this young man, you know, I think roughly maybe a little bit older than Haij, very young, and, you know, also has a few kids. And so he was grieving for him and his family. But he's also reflecting upon himself and his family and what would happen if he died all of a sudden and left his wife and three kids. And so there was some, obviously, emotion from that. But really the bulk and the heart of it is this idea that, did I share with this man? I mean, he may be in hell today. And I didn't have the courage to share with him. I mean, he didn't know, but that question began to loom and it began to burn something in his heart. And now Haij shares with everyone that he gets a chance to. I pray that we would have that kind of burning heart. That first and foremost, I'm talking to Solomon's Porch members here, that we would be convinced that Jesus is the only way. If you're not convinced of that, don't take this the wrong way, okay? But you may actually not be a Christian. You may be religious, but you actually may not be a born-again Christian. There are not many roads to God. There's only one road. Don't get mad at me. Jesus says it himself. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible tells us there is only one name by which we can be saved, and it's the name of Jesus. And so, let that truth really begin to sink in. And because, yes, that we are responsible for this truth, let's proclaim the gospel to our neighbors, to our friends, our family members, our brothers and sisters, to our colleagues, our bosses, in a way that it makes sense to them. We're not going to bash people over the head with the Bible and hey, you're going to hell. And that's not prudent. That's not wise. That's not winsome. But what we are going to do is we're going to display the life of Christ through our own lives. We're going to live with integrity. We're going to live as if it matters that Jesus died for us. And we're going to show a way. And then when God brings the opportunity, we're going to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And we're going to share that God loves them so much and he wants to have a relationship with you. But your sins have separated you from God. But God provides a way, even where we're sinners. Jesus died for us. In other words, Jesus went before the judge and he died in our place so that we wouldn't have to. And then if we call upon the name of the Lord, that we can be saved. And when we're saved, nothing will separate you from the love of God. And there, therefore, will be now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is the Romans road. And I pray that we would take so many people down this road of life and faith. Can we do that? And so we're just going to have a time of worship right now. We're going to ask the Lord to speak to us. And if you're witnessing to people, if you're sharing your life with people, listen, I learned this when I was in seminary. I shared this many times, but it really changed the way that I think about this. And you got to understand, for a person to go from zero, in other words, never heard of Jesus, never heard of God, anything like that, and then for them to become a follower of Jesus, there is this missiologist called Engel, and he developed this thing called the Engel Scale. And basically what he says is that it literally takes hundreds of interactions with many different people to get people to move along this scale from never hearing Jesus to becoming a fully devoted follower of Christ. And so you may think that you don't have much of a part because you don't get to lead that person to the Lord. But I want you to know, according to this missiologist, that every single things that happen in our life that we play certain roles in, when all these things take place, it's amazing. What happens is that then they come to that place of faith. And so we may not know what part we play. It could be that we, you know, just happen to have a Bible verse on our computer screen, you know, when the screensaver, and someone walks by at your work and notices computer screen, and all of a sudden, Holy Spirit, boom, boom, ding, 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 something begins to illuminate in their heart. And that was just one little step that got them closer to Jesus. You never know what role we play. It could be some advice that you give to a friend. It could be just that Christian t-shirt that you wore. Or you may have just been talking to someone about fasting. They asked you at your work, what are you going to do this weekend? And so, I don't know, I'm going to do this. And, you know, you're going to eat anything? He says, no, I'm actually fasting. And then they say, why are you fasting? And then you share. And then all of a sudden, the intrigue, and boop, you move them a little closer along that scale to Jesus. We all play a part. I was watching this YouTube video about this pastor, and apparently he died. He got in a horrific accident, and he died, and he went to heaven. And usually I don't believe in that kind of stuff, that, you know, if I'm perfectly honest, but his story was a bit intriguing. And he said something that really kind of made an impact on me. And he says, and when he got to heaven, he says he recognized everyone that was there. And there were other people there, but the people that came out, he recognized them, because he said that when he got to heaven, those people are all these people that played some role in him becoming a Christian. And he's a pastor now. And he said, and they all showed up when he died, but then he came back to earth. And it was a pretty amazing story. And if you want to know, just send me an email and I will send you the link to that. But I thought it was such a beautiful imagery of all of these people that played a role. It wasn't just that one person that actually shared the gospel message and led him in the sinner's prayer. It was actually a whole bunch of people that came out and welcomed him into heaven. I think it's a beautiful picture. I hope and pray that many of us, me and you, many of us, that we'll play a role in leading many, many people to the Lord, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And so let's just pray. And as Pastor Nate leads us in a song, let's go before the Lord. My sermon is so short today. We have plenty of time to pray. And so let's go before the Lord. And let's begin to just continue to lift up those that we're sharing our lives with, and praying that the God of salvation would fall down on our friends, family, colleagues. Let's worship and let's pray.
How great the chasm that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. And through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me His own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim. The promise, your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declare the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. The one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
There is only one mediator between God and man, and it's the man, Christ Jesus. There are not many other ways to the Father. There's only one way. Jesus said that. The scriptures illuminate that for us. Remember RT's message during our conference. Let's try tears. And maybe this is a season for us as a church to really cry out for the lost, to really cry out for our friends and family that are lost, that are without life. Can we just spend a moment? Can we pray? And I'm going to lead us in a prayer for a moment. Maybe you're home today and maybe you're not a Christian, but you recognize some of the things that I shared with you make sense. And you want to open your heart to the Lord, and you want to just, you have nothing else to offer but the simple trust. And you're at that moment. I want to lead us in a prayer in a moment. I want all of us to pray, though, our whole community. For some, it's just going to be a recommitment, a rededication of this commitment that we're making to the Lord, that, Lord, all I can offer you is my trust, my faith, and that's all. And I'm going to ask then to put the words, the prayer, up on the screen. Very simple. Let's say this all together. Can we do this? 1, 2, 3. God, I know that I've sinned against you and I'm deserving of punishment, but Jesus Christ took the punishment that I deserve so that through faith in him, I could be forgiven. With your help, I place my trust in Jesus for salvation. Thank you for your wonderful grace and forgiveness, the gift of eternal life. Amen. Amen. If you pray that for the first time today, in other words, you confess with your mouth, you believe in your heart, please tell someone. Shoot me an email or tell a friend who is connected to SP in some way, or house church leader, or whatever it may be. And we want to continue this journey because this is just the first step. This is not the end. It's just the first step of you becoming a disciple, a follower of Jesus. The rest of us that we said this prayer and we recommitted our lives, let's also recommit ourselves to evangelism once again. Let's recommit ourselves to not just practicing the gospel, but also proclaiming the gospel. Of just leading people down the Romans road. Next week I'm going to share a different approach, but leading people down the Romans road. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But God demonstrates his great love for us. And now while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. So whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And therefore, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Can we do that? Can we just spend a moment? Can we pray for our friends and family and colleagues that we're ministering to, that we're leading along that scale? To become a fully devoted follower of Jesus. Let's do that for a moment. I'll come and give a benediction.
Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken it. Chain salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah! Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah! Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Let's pray together today. Lord, we thank you for this free gift of life made possible through your Son, Jesus. Lord, I pray, God, that we will take this message, Lord, and share it with everyone around us. Lord, this is good news and worthy to be proclaimed from the mountaintops, God, in our homes, in our offices, in the taxi cabs. Lord, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that God loves people, that God wants them to have peace, abundant life, and eternal life. But our sins have separated us from God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Lord, and the wages of sin is death. But Lord, we thank you, God, that you demonstrate, God, your love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Jesus, you died for us. You paid the penalty that we should have paid. And if we would call upon you, God, we'll confess with our mouths and believe in our heart, God, that we will be saved. And then therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ. Jesus will not be condemned for our sins ever, and nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God. We thank you for the gospel. And we pray, God, that you give us courage and strength and wisdom and winsomeness, God, to share the gospel with all people, with everybody around us, Lord. Would you give us as a church that heart this year, God, and every year, Lord, but this year we feel like you're doing something, God, in this area. It is a place of weakness for us, Lord. It's not necessarily our high giftedness, but it doesn't matter, God. It's the most important message that we need to share with people. And so help us, God. We thank you, Lord. I pray for, especially for, Lord, our audience today, that in their rooms, wherever they were, God, that they pray to you for the first time. Connect them to a believer now, Lord. Give them a love for your scriptures, the Bible. It's the love letter to God to us about how much he loves us. And I pray that they would grow in the Lord. We thank you, God. We love you, Lord. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord causes his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 Wow. God bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your time. Please, let's just share. Let's practice the gospel and let's proclaim the gospel every day of our lives. Have a wonderful lunch. If you need prayer for anything, go to one of our rooms. You follow the link, and then one of our well ministers will gladly pray and minister to you. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Happy Chinese New Year. Bye-bye.